With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hello and welcome to another breaking news edition of What Most People Think, your comedy podcast for the election. There you go. I can get voiceover work. Now, there's been a lot going on. Slippery Starmer, Slippery Keir, he's been purging the left, isn't he? You know, Velvet Fist, Iron Glove, Knight of the Long Knives, all that stuff has been going on. He's changed so much, hasn't he, Keir Starmer, from the guy that was elected leader in 2020. It's a bit like, you know, with Paul McCartney, there's that theory that he was replaced at some point because only that could explain the difference in his talent and creative vision. I think something similar might have gone on with Keir Starmer. He's replaced by aliens at one point, a right-wing alien. And there's been a guilty verdict for the Donald. So, yeah, it'd be nice to step outside of the election a little bit. Obviously, most of it will be about the election, but we're going to talk about Donald Trump being found guilty on all counts in the US and what that means for the election over there. I did a Patreon only yesterday. So if you want, I mean, I'm literally, the content just keeps coming. But if you want even more What Most People Think and you want it early, ad-free and with bonus content, then do go to Patreon and sign up. And the paperback of my book, The British Bloke Decoded, is out in less than a week now. It's out on the 6th of June. So if you've got your holiday coming up or you want something for Father's Day or you just want something to read on your commute, not any of you lot commute. I'm getting strong working from home vibes, yeah. I know most of you listening are the kind of people that you get your hair cut at the quietest time of the week. You just schedule in a little swim at some point. I'll just have a swim. I know I'm supposed to be working, but I'm just going to swim. Working from home, people. They just, as I said on the tour, just admit it. Admit that it's a touch. No. I'm actually more productive. Get fucked, are you? Right, I'll probably get letters. whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com. If you want to tell me how the hell you are actually more productive working from home. We're going to do a quick thank you and a fuck you before we get into the political stuff. The thank you is to Grenade Bars. Now, I've been trying to lose weight, right? I've been trying to lose weight over the last sort of 6 months. No, didn't get like super overweight, but there was a chubbiness that was kind of, I kept thinking it was going to go away and it just didn't. And I guess that's the thing of being in your mid to late, your late 40s, let's call it what it is. And I always said that I was more of a savoury guy than a sweet guy. I kind of like that about myself. You know, when we say these things about these little myths of about ourselves and we kind of enjoy, I'm actually more of a savoury guy. But the truth was, I was regularly taking biscuits to bed. Regularly taking just a little Mars ice cream up the hill, that sad little walk up to stairs when you've got food in your hand. You know you shouldn't be doing it. And the truth is, I'm scared of feeling hungry. I don't know what it's something from childhood. Maybe I was breastfed too long. I mean, don't get the image out of your head of me at 8 years old still latching on. But I don't like feeling hungry, right? But these grenade bars, and this is not an ad, by the way. This is not an ad. They're sort of like a loophole because they're kind of nice. They're sweet and they're chewy and there's got a lot of protein in. And I kind of ignore what that means. You know, should you really have that much protein? But there must be something going on because I quite enjoy them. And it's a bit like my suspicion of drinking Coke Zero. It tastes so much like real Coke that I'm like, that is not right. Nothing should taste that sweet and caramelly that hasn't got sugar in. So I'm suspicious. So let me know. Is there something about grenade bars that I'm going to find out is, you know, because you don't just get to win in life, do you? You don't just find a loophole with no issues. It's probably someone who's going to get in touch, I know it, and say, Jeff, grenade bars are very tasty, but they also give you colon cancer. The fuck you is the price of days out. And so this week, it's half term and I've been to Hampton Court and Legoland with my son. And now I need to do an OnlyFans. I need to do something. Is there a market for blokes at 47? What is it? Dad bods? women who just want to see dad bods. Maybe. The difference between men and women, right? Difference between men and women. It's a new subject I'm working on. Is that men are just so visual, isn't it? Just let me see something. Whereas with women is they need to have a narrative around it. So it wouldn't just be dad bod. It would be dad bod fixing stuff around the house. That's what it would be. It would be a guy. And he wouldn't even be like, because blokes just go full on, yeah, I want her in lingerie. You know, women be like, you know, a nice pair of shorts and, you know, a grey shirt which shows off his muscles. So maybe I need to do that because I spent a lot. I'm down a grand, I think. I'm down a grand because you think the entry, the train, the price of inch, fucking tap, tap, tap. This is the thing with these days. Tap, tap, you're just tapping. Tap, tap, tappity, fucking tap, tap, tap. And I'm down a grand. Oh, look, I'm up to wonderful experiences with my son, but my God. I mean, I'd rather go, for that money, I'd rather go on a Jet 2 all-inclusive, right, and spend a week with some football hooligans. People who are out of family but still nipping off to do Charlie in the Bogs. Those kind of holidays, right? I just don't know how people with 2 to 3 kids do a half term. I don't know how you do it. With one, I'm getting cleaned out. What do you do? Was it drug trafficking on the side? I think we need the return of cash to really bring down inflation. Because if we could see what we were handing over for some of this stuff, if I could have actually seen in cash the 11 quid that I paid for a hot dog at Legoland, right? I'm not paying that money. I think that we should have like these little, our debit cards should have a little screen on them. And it should show you a person counting out whatever it is you're paying. Because seriously, man, paying fucking, what was it we paid? 14 quid for chicken and chips. And I ended up with the shits. What a lovely image to go into the politics section. All right, so Starmer has been on manoeuvres, right? And it is weird that after the kamikaze start we had to the election with the Tories, you know, with the rain and Rishi and the Titanic section and various other ready-made analogies that he was standing in front of. He literally at one point, if there was a ship and there was rats and it was sinking, he would have gone, I'm going to go and stand in front of that. But it's changed a bit. There's been this story about Diane Abbott and more broadly Starmer's purge of the left that has dominated the news cycle for 2 to 3 days now. So let's go back to where it all started, right? About a year ago, Diane Abbott did a letter in The Observer and it had a horrible anti-Semitic trope in it. It was this idea that, you know, like Jewish people don't really know racism, and she kind of equated it with being ginger, which is fucking astonishing. It was astonishing that she wrote it. It was astonishing that it was published. But she did apologise, unlike Comrade Corbyn, who still doesn't think he did anything wrong during his period leading the Labour Party. She did apologise. And, you know, it does make you think, well, if you apologise so quickly, did you know it was wrong? What were you playing at? But I am against cancel culture for kind of like these one-offs, and I'm sure some of you tell me she's done other stuff, but you have to believe in a rehabilitation. But she goes through this Labour Party disciplinary procedure, right? And this process goes on for quite a while. Keir, he's claimed, he's not, look, I'm not involved. I just want the NEC to do the disciplinary is not something I'm... And does anyone really believe that? As I say, the guy that fucking, like, literally pressured Lindsay Hoyle into deselecting the SNP bill. But whatever, it's all about process, 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 process. But then it starts to unravel, right? It was revealed that that process was concluded in December, suggesting some sort of deal had been done and they were just kind of choreographing it up to the election. Although Starmer did claim it was still ongoing in March, so that's a bit of bullshit, but whatever. Then, on the eve of this all being announced, I guess, one of Starmer's goons, right, does seem he's got some heavies around him now that are getting a bit cocky, you know, they drunk the Kool-Aid. They brief to the Times that she's not going to be allowed to stand and the deal falls apart, right? Now, you can say that maybe this guy was just one rogue sort of trader, one sort of fucking Nick Leeson acting out of turn, but there was this feeling all along that they wanted to stage manage it to the point where they basically said, look, Diane Abbott is not running. We know that most of you fucking don't like her. So look what we did. You know, like Starmer once again showing off to his new mates in Middle England. And then Diane, she realised it's been briefed. She's really disappointed. She has a rally in Hackney. It all gets a bit free. Nelson Mandela. People on the left are unhappy about how she's been treated because whatever you want to say, right, you know, she has been a trailblazer. And it has been quite funny to see the Tories talking out both sides of their mouth on this one. Because on the one hand, if Diane had, you know, if she does, and she might well still stand as an MP, they'll be saying, how the hell can this woman who, you know, this woman who made an anti-Semitic slur, right? But As it currently stands, they're going, oh, Diane Abbott is a trailblazer. It pains me to see Keir Starmer treating such a maverick, the first black female. they're just loving it, really. We love her in the Tory party. We love her. We actually call her auntie. And you know what? If they really wanted to be cheeky, the Tories should say, they should say, like, look at our record on getting people of colour into front bench positions. Diane, the transfer window is open. You should come to the Tories on a Bosman.
What most people think.
And of course, people on the left are unhappy because, you know, on the lefty left, they're starting to ask, what are we voting for, right? You're treating a woman of colour like this? I mean, that has to be the absolute apex thing on the progressive left of how you treat women of colour, right? That is their, that's what they get out of bed for. It's what they go to school for. And what the fuck, where the hell did that? That was a busted reference. Jesus Christ. Then there's another MP suspended, an Asian female Muslim MP. I say that because it's relevant, because she was suspended for liking tweets. Some of them, what's her name? Faiza Shaheen, I think. And some of them was said to, I haven't looked at all of them, but some of them were tweets that dealt in anti-Semitic tropes, which is obviously repugnant. I do think that liking a tweet, I've always thought, whether it's, you know, people on the left or right, liking a tweet always feels like a fairly low bar for being in trouble for something. You know, it's not, you're not retweeting it even. You're not doing a thumbs up underneath. You're not saying, like, fucking preach, man. You're liking it, which can be, you know, until bookmarks came in, it can mean that you just wanted to remember that tweet. I don't know. There's certainly a case against her, but I feel like liking the tweet is just like you've seen at Hyde Park and there was someone speaking about something dodgy and you just nodded. But Labour Party have this, you know, history of what happened under Corbyn, and I guess they need to feel that they come down like a ton of bricks, right? A zero tolerance approach to anti-Semitism, which I understand the motivations for that. But here's the thing, right? So the NEC, the National Executive Committee, they're basically, you know, like in the Star Wars prequels, this is like the Senate. I am the Senate. That's the phase that Starmer is now getting into, his Emperor Palpatine phase. It's stuffed with Starmer guys, right? And this is where it starts to get dodgy, because one of them is then parachuted into the constituency that Faiza Shaheen has been suspended from standing from. So it's good to see that Labour, you know, have gone full back to the new Labour. They've dusted down and they're given the old new Labour parachutes. They loved a parachute, didn't they? In the 90s, you know, Tony Blair going, where the fuck is it? Yeah, Sedgefield, whatever, man. The Miliband brothers. What, the Miliband brothers, Doncaster East or something? I mean, it must be so weird for those people going, what the fuck are these two guys? Why are they suddenly representing? Hello, Darlington. It's Doncaster, mate. So they got the parachutes out. And then one of the guys on the NEC that sat on the disciplinary panel that decided that Faiza Shaheen shouldn't stand is, guess what? One of the guys that has been dropped into a constituency. Now, it may be that that is just coincidental, but it looks fucking dodgy, you know? And this is, you know, Starmer has been on such a journey, isn't he, when it comes to his politics. Let me read you a tweet that he sent in 2020, right? He said, the selection for Labour's candidates needs to be more democratic and we should end NEC imposition of candidates. Local party members should select their candidates for every election. Right, that's what he said when he was standing to be leader, and it's been anything but that. The level of interference and the level of imposition of candidates has been massive. Now, I don't know what happened with this guy. It was obviously something when he lost Hartlepool. That was obviously a moment when he just went, fuck this, man. Fuck it. Fuck the left. Fuck everybody. Like, I don't care about it. Those guys, the fucking losers. Let's just absolutely annihilate every single one of those fucks. And that seems to be the project. And, you know, I guess they would say, well, they would say, well, look, it's worked. We're really far ahead in the polls. But what's really put them far ahead in the polls is the Tory party's conduct and competence above all else. And so it's, a little war has broken out on the left. And Angela Rayner comes out and says that, you know, she doesn't see why Diane Abbott shouldn't be able to stand. Wes Streeton says he's uncomfortable about her treatment. And that kind of underlines my feelings about, like, the leadership of this Labour Party, is that Rayner and Streeton, while I disagree with them politically, I sort of trust the version, more or less trust the version of themselves that they portray, right? And if some of you have issues with that, whatmostpeoplethinkuk@gmail.com, even Rachel Reeves, you know. But there's something about Starmer, this guy, the change in the Labour Party that happened under Kinnock, John Smith and Tony Blair was like gradual. It was an argument that was won over time. And even then, you know, like people like Corbyn were still allowed to stay in the party. But like Starmer has fully fucking 180'd within the space of 2 or 3 years. And I'm telling you, this guy gives me the willies. So somewhat unexpectedly, the Conservative Party have played a sort of second fiddle, really. Now, they've had 2 or 3 days off. I don't even know what they've said. I don't know what they said. Well, you know, along with National Service and what else have they done and things for pensioners? What else have they tried to introduce? Bring back topless calendars in the workplace. Rishi said, no, it's absolutely ridiculous that mechanics can't have a pair of tits on the wall. There, I mean, there's been a couple more funny photos of Rishi. Mickey Mouse. So there was somebody, a photographer, that basically waited until his head lined up with two speakers, I think, in the wall behind him, two black circular speakers. So he looked like Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse, Prime Minister. And again, you know, like I'm aware that I said in my book, Where Did I Go Right? I said that these photos only resonate people if, like, they speak to a greater truth, right? So the reason that Ed Miliband didn't become Prime Minister wasn't because of the bacon sandwich photo, but we resonated with the bacon sandwich photo because we thought, yeah, that kind of looks like how I feel about it. So maybe there is a certain truth for these photos, but the speed and the volume of opportunities that people are taking to photograph Rishi in this. It kind of also speaks to the problem, isn't it? Like, Labour aren't big on policy. So the whole election, vote for us or vote against the Tories, is predicated on, well, it's all about what they are, right? What we're not. We're not the Mickey Mouse guy. You know, Rishi's getting coverage he doesn't want, images he doesn't want. Meanwhile, Ed Davey, fucking falling off that paddleboard. I mean, it was just so embarrassing. It was so clearly staged, wasn't it? It was so clearly staged, and I just, this haphazard character that Ed Davies, fucking, is he Mr. Bean? I don't know. Or is there some sort of West End revival of Some Mothers Do Have Them, and he's basically using the election as a live audition for that. Whoa, 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 whoa. That's his new sound. I said on the tour that no one knows what Ed Davies' voice sounds like, and I stand by that, but I think that there is now an Ed Davey noise, which is, Betty. So I'm recording this on Friday. By the way, so some people criticised me because on Monday I was talking about, or Tuesday, yeah, Tuesday we were talking about Labour's letter from business, and I was saying there were some impressive figures on that, and it did unravel a bit after that. And then someone chirped me out on Facebook saying I hadn't done my homework. You do realise, like, I record it on a day and some stuff comes to light later. So it did seem that below the top line figures of these businesses, Labour's business letter was a bit more threadbare. And it did turn out to be like fucking few corner shop owners, guy that runs a fish and chip shop van. And it does seem that Labour have stepped away from that. I mean, it's interesting that it got front page of the Times. You'd have thought that maybe they would have dug beneath the numbers a bit. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, bear in mind that I have to record it at a time, and sometimes things happen afterwards that are different. But I watched Nigel Farage on Question Time last night. It was box office, right? It had the big guns. Morgan, Farage, Street In, the Tory bloke who looked a bit like Albert Steptoe. And I'm going to say something. This is immature. But the bit where Farage and Piers Morgan were engaging in, like, top trumps and generally taking the piss out of that, I love that. You know, maybe it's my toxic trait, as the kids say, but I thought that was fantastic television. It was so immature. So Morgan would say to him, but you tried to run 7 times. You couldn't have, no one likes you. And then Farage was going, well, you're a TV show. You're a bloody YouTuber now. That's all you are. You're a bloody YouTuber. I thought that was fantastic. I could have had a whole hour of that. Farage actually had a tough time so it was in Epsom. Now, what I know of Epsom as a place over the years, you know, it's in Surrey. I've done a couple of gigs. I did a gig at a private school there, and it really struck me that the parents all wanted to seem like really woke and progressive. But when I took the piss out of them for the fact that they were trying to instill privilege on their kids, it all got a bit quiet. So that's my view on Epsom. And certainly the crowd weren't giving Farage much back. He couldn't just do his thing, which is normal thing, which he'll get a round of applause for, just saying that things are farcical, absurd, ridiculous. It was a shambles. It's a bloody joke. He's such a great act. He says everything is just a disgrace. It's pathetic. He just finds any word to criticise stuff. And he did a few early on that would normally have got him a massive round of applause. And he wasn't getting much joy, and I could see him starting to sweat a bit. And then he made a point about, you know, housing and the number of people who've arrived. So after the last couple of years being over 1 million, right? So he made a fair point, I think, which is that how the hell can you build enough houses for that? And there was a bishop on, and she seemed quite sort of lefty, and she sort of said, well, we're talking about migrants here. And she sort of made the virtuous caring angle of just, you know, these poor people. And yeah, but that doesn't change the fact of most of these people are coming through work visas, which have been granted by the government. And it's really fucking hard to know how many houses to build, given that you have to get planning permission years in advance. And, you know, planning developments take a long time, decades in some cases. That how the hell are you supposed to plan enough houses for in a 2-year period, 1.2 million people arrived? And she didn't really have an argument, but the crowd gave her a round of applause. And then that kind of shut down the debate, which I totally understand on Question Time, because once someone's made like an emotional point and all the audience have clapped it, it's a popularity game at that point. Then everyone else jumps on and go, I'd just like to associate my comments here with the slightly vacuous comments by the lefty bishop that you lot fucking lapped up. I would just like to say that I agree with whatever she said because you clapped. I'll just close this section out, actually. When I did Question Time, and it was around the white heat of Brexit, remember in early 2019 where it still seemed like it might be cancelled completely. So the audience were very febrile, and there was a Shamima Begum story running. And I made the point that, you know, the left on the one hand, you know, seemed to want votes for 16-year-olds, but in the case of Shamima Begum, quite quickly pivoted to the fact that she was a child. And then Jacob Rees-Mogg started talking, and he said, well, what we've got to remember here is ultimately she is a child. And then the audience clapped, and I was like, hang on, did I just say something that was more right-wing than Jacob Rees-Mogg? So immediately I tried to get another answer in, and this was so shameless. I was going, look, what we really need to remember here is that she's a human being. Basically, I went like the full lefty bishop. Okay, just a quick hype here. My book, The British Bloke Decoded, as I say, it is out on next week, Thursday, the 6th of June, right? So if you order it, you're going to get it very soon. I thought some of you might not just know what the book's about. So it's a sympathetic view of British manliness, masculinity. And I'll just read you a quick bit from the intro, right? See if this grabs you. It's been a testing time for the male brand of late. In the last few years, the term men, as opposed to blokes, has become something of a pejorative one, implying privilege and power. There was a long overdue reckoning for certain kinds of toxic men who needed taking down a peg or two. Men who lecherous, men who waged wars, men who are Matt Hancock. See, that was a bit cheap there. But look, at the time I wrote it, Matt Hancock was one of the most hated men in Britain. He's a good punchline to anything. This is not in the book, by the way. This is just me. This is like the director's commentary. However, as I started to think about this book, I realised there was a world of difference between those guys who never spoke for the vast majority and the standard British bloke. But as feminism found renewed energy in the second half of the 2010s, right, that's understating it, eh, lads? Eh? That is also not in the book. All the valid discourse created a slipstream which other things fell into. It's true that the list of people who've crashed economies and started wars mostly contains people who could pee standing up. I mean, again, that in itself could be controversial in some quarters. But meanwhile, the other 99% of their sex were, at worst, crashing Ford Fiestas or starting DIY projects they never finished. See? That's how I set up the book. And the book itself, loads of, like, chapters. None of them are, like, too long, but they're talking about things like, why do men really like curry? But also, you know, why don't men go to the doctors? What are the issues in and around our friendships? But, you know, why do we get so much into, like, history and wars as we get older? Look, the summer's coming up. I think this is your book for the summer. So get on Amazon or Waterstones and get it ordered. I think if you like this podcast, you'll like this book. All right, the Donald. I can't do a Donald impression. That's it. That's all I can do. So he's been found guilty of all charges in the case of, what was it? What was the crime called? He was found guilty of all 34 counts of falsifying business records in his New York trial, right? So his old guy, Michael Cohen, spoke out against him that he paid a porn star, Stormy Daniels, hush money, right? Which in itself is not a crime to sleep with a porn star. Actually makes you a fucking legend. And paying people hush money, that's also not a crime. But he falsified the accounts to cover it up. And I think the funny thing about this, in a way, is that given how Trump's PR tends to have worked, him shagging a porn star would actually have sent his poll ratings up. If he'd come out and just go, yeah, I nailed that. That makes me more of a man. Everyone would have gone, God damn, you're right. He's a real man. He nailed a porn star. That's Joe Biden couldn't nail a goddamn picture to a wall. So it's kind of odd that he's gone down for this. That's what she said. But yeah, the first question, right, is can he stand? Can he stand? And it seems he can stand to still be president because there are very few criteria of to be president. I think there's only three, right? First up is you've got to be older than 34, which I think is a weird, arbitrary sort of age, right? So you've got to be 35. I think that this is from the original constitution where I just think people lived far less. They just died younger, right? So at that point, 35, so that's actually a good age. But yeah, he didn't die of whooping cough. You've got to be from the US, or you've got to be a citizen, you've got to live there 14 years, right? He could even run, Trump, he could even run from prison. And the sentence is on July the 11th, right? A lot of people think he won't go to prison. But my God, the idea of Trump in prison, because he's a former president, he'll have to have a couple of Secret Service guys with him. That's a fucking HBO TV show, isn't it? That sounds like a pitch. Imagine a president, a former president in jail with two Secret Service guys. That'd be, mate, that's four series right there. Trump would be running D-Wing within a week, wouldn't he? But I can get some backy for you. I can get you 2 ounces of gold, Hope. If you're doing dodgy dealings, he is dodgy, right? Straight afterwards, he says that he's a very innocent man. And that's not the way I think an innocent man would tend to phrase his innocence. I'm a very, very innocent man. That's like going, but babe, I very didn't go to that strip club, all right? Babe, I very only had 5 pints and definitely no Sambucas. He's described it as a witch hunt. I mean, I always think it's funny how often that Trump uses the phrase witch hunt. I just get the impression in Salem, he would have been the first guy calling women witches for political purposes, right? Any of these women that he slept with that he shouldn't. She's a witch. Oh, she's a witch. I saw her. You seen her with a cat? Oh, and then we would have done an impression of the cat. I mean, it's just so effective, isn't it? Him and Farage, they've got a great act. That's the point, is whether you think they're bad people or not, bad for democracy, they've absolutely nailed a way of talking and dealing with situations that's very hard to fight against. And the problem for the public, right, is that people have gone so far with Trump now. People are asking, is this a red line for him to cross? But the problem for his supporters is if they turn back now, they also have to admit all the other stuff that they've overlooked, right? You know, you kind of go, oh, the grabbing pussy thing wasn't good, but we kind of let that go. And him kind of imitating disabled people is his rallies and, you know, kind of him sucking up to Putin a little bit. You just got to start. It's like in families, isn't it? When families won't deal with issues between each other because, you know, that's fucking Pandora's box right there. And nothing changes the fact of Joe Biden's mental unsuitability for another 4 years. But you have to start weighing it up. You know what I mean? What would Donald Trump do to be president? What will he do to protect himself? Once president, do you think he will go after anyone that has tried to charge him or convict him of anything? I think he will. He sort of picked apart democracy a bit and he'll start picking apart the judiciary. Now, I have no idea, you know, for 100%. But look, it was a unanimous jury, but I don't know about what the other charges are. But they've gone so far with this guy. And at what point, you know, who would be the replacement candidate, right? And would the Republicans think that person was a traitor? One thing I definitely want to see is Sunak and Starmer getting asked really awkward questions about this. Because Sunak and Starmer potentially would have to work with him. And I want to hear questions like, Mr. Sunak, do you have an issue working with a convicted felon?
And they'll try and vacillate, won't they? And just go, look, the point is you have to work with who you have. No, but do you think it's bad?
Mr. Starmer, is it regrettable for democracy that the American president could be a convicted? Look, I just, at the end of the day, look, this is not the point. The point is I have defeated the left. Fuck the left. That's his new slogan. That's his new slogan, isn't it? I think that Keir Starmer, the Tories should be going to him, like, how do you defeat the left, Keir Starmer? Well, let me tell you about the left, all right? You need to fuck them. And then when they're down, you fuck them again. But they're going to, because they both could potentially have to deal with him. And it's that thing where I get that there are diplomatic lines that you have to tread, but it is weird. Like you would say, look, just as a human being, Mr. Starmer? Do you have a view? It's suboptimal to have to deal with a president who got done for falsifying business accounts. What he would do in that point, he would just resort to a Wikipedia definition of the president of the United States. The president of the United States of America is democratically elected by the people, for the people. He lives at the White House. He's called Mr. President. And it really should go, he should go, you know what? I'm not going to win. Ask Keir that. Fuck it, I don't know. I'm not answering that one. I'm clearly not going to be Prime Minister. So ask Keir. Keir, good luck with that one, son. Knock yourself out. Okay, that is the end of the breaking news there. So who knows, right? By the time I do we've got a guest show next week, by the way, early in the week, and then another breaking news later in the week. But by that point, Diane Abbott, she could be backstanding as an MP. Donald Trump, you know what I mean? He could be doing another January 6th insurrection. Keir Starmer, he might have literally locked every single left-winger in the Labour Party in a giant sealed tomb underneath London. You never know. You know, politics, as Alex Ferguson said, bloody hell.